Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Good. So I was at a conference yesterday, and it was an interesting conference, and the person who was introducing the conference, he made us do something a little bit funny. Maybe not funny, but a little bit different, and I thought that we might be able to do that today as well. So one of the things they got us to do is they got us to all stand up, and he said that we needed to shake the hand of somebody that we didn't know, or that we didn't talk to regularly, but then we also needed to ask them a question and talk about it. And so we're going to try something similar. When I say go, I'm going to invite you to get up and do that and share with somebody about how you've seen God at work in your life, or in the life of somebody close to you in the last year, 2 years, maybe your whole life. That'd be okay too. And if you haven't, if you can't think of anything, feel free to be honest and share that too. So go. I'd like to see a show of hands. How many of you had a hard time finding somebody you didn't know? I like that. That's good. I really appreciate that you guys were willing to do that. That's good. Just a quick note, I guess. No, I'll talk about that later. We're going to look at our announcements now. There's a few things to note. The church council has set Sunday, March 12th, as the date for the annual spring congregational meeting. And the youth will be doing a lunch that day as well, so feel free to stay for lunch and bring some money, because we like it, and the food will be good, I'm sure. We invite you, your participation in discussions around our church budget, as well as follow-up from our fall meeting when we discussed the Being a Faithful Church process initiated by Mennonite Church Canada. And so that's what we'll be doing that day. A couple other announcements to take note of. The MCM delegate sessions are taking place March 3rd and 4th at Emmanuel Mennonite in Winkler. And we want to congratulate JC and Carmen. They had a daughter this past week. Her name is Finley Snow. And we want to wish you well as you seek to fulfill your responsibilities as parents to the children entrusted to your care. has been encouraging to read about Tenley's improvements and how she's been feeling lately. But we need to continue to uphold them in prayer as decisions and things are continuing to be need to be made with ongoing care. And Gary Fair is back. We're coming back from a two-week Bible distribution with the Gideons, so I'm going to welcome him back as well. Are there any other announcements that anybody would like to come up and make? Feel free to come up at this time.
I just want to make an announcement in regard to Nettie. She's been going to our church for quite a while, and that's her if you aren't familiar with her, or maybe she would have been one of your people you would have found this morning. But she is serving at School of the Kingdom as an assistant administrator and as well as a student leader there. So they've been on outreach the last couple of months with School of the Kingdom. And maybe first I should just explain briefly what School of the Kingdom is. For those of us who wouldn't know, it's a discipleship training school for young adults. And so she did the school last year, and now she's on staff there this year. And so they have a teaching 3-month period, and then now they have their outreach period. So they've been on that for 2 months now, and they're just coming back for in a week. So we can continue to pray for her. She is very encouraged to hear that we've been supporting her, and if we can continue to pray for them in their last month. They're in Houston, Texas right now. They've also been in Winnipeg and in San Francisco as well. And her prayer requests are just for strength that they can finish well in this last week of their mission trip, and that they can feel the Lord's nearness, and just for safety on their lengthy drive back as well. And so they've been involved in various ministries out there in Houston, doing a lot of different things with the poor people as well as with more well-to-do people as well. But a number of different things there in Houston, so let's continue to support our missionaries in prayer.
All right. I just thought I'd make another announcement from the missions committee. Part of the start of the year was we're to be getting in touch with different organizations and people that we've been supporting as a church, and I thought I'd share an update from the station in Altona Youth for Christ. Emailed them and just asked how they've been doing, and they said that every area of their organization has been able to grow almost double, except for financial need. And so they had quite a shortfall last year. So that's something we can continue to pray for, and just thought that we would let you know that we're going to continue to be supporting them just like we have, but just also to continue to pray for them as well. Thanks.
Thanks. For the call to worship this morning, I want to read from Psalm 65. But before that, I want to mention that the theme for youth this year has been God at Work, and I may have mentioned that at our youth service in fall, but it's based on the verse Philippians 2, verse 13, which reads, "For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose." And the aim this morning is to allow space for us to encounter the living God together, to set our focus on him, and to set our eyes on his magnificence, because he is the one who is doing the work within us. He is the one who gives us both the desire and the power to do what he wants us to do. And so I'm going to read Psalm 65 as our call to worship this morning. "Praise is rightfully yours, God in Zion. Vows to you will be fulfilled. All humanity will come to you. The one who hears prayer. Iniquities overwhelm me. Only you can atone for our rebellions. How happy is the one you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. You answer us in righteousness, with awe-inspiring works. God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the distant seas. You establish the mountains by your power, robed with strength. You silence the roar of the seas, the roar of their waves, and the tumult of the nations. Those who live far away are awed by your signs. You make east and west shout for joy. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your work in us and through us. Father, I pray that this morning we would set our eyes on you, that we would take the time to recognize that it's not about us, but it's about you and who you are. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would bring peace to those who need peace, joy to those who need joy, grace to those who need grace, and that you would reveal to us your truth again this morning. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to invite Reve and the band up and Lauren up.
Singing, so you guys can all stand, please.
Stronger, God, you are higher than any.
119, 172. It says, "My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteous." We're going to sing, "I Will Exalt."
like to invite Thaddeus and the ushers.
Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya, oh Lord. Someone's praying, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's praying, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's praying, Lord, Kumbaya.
Thank you so much, Thaddeus. Well done. I would like for our prayer time this morning, I'd like you to turn to the person next to you and pray for each other. So do that. God, we are grateful that you hear us and that you care about the things going on in our lives, the things that we were able to share with each other, and the things maybe that we have a hard time sharing as well. God, I pray that that you would give to each one what we need this week and help us to see opportunities to help others and to share your love with those around us as well. Thank you for your good gifts. Amen. Reveille.
Psalm 103, verse 11 and 12. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. We're going to sing God of Wonders, and I'll invite you to stand.
This isn't in your bulletins, but I'd like to invite Shania and Josh up to do a special number. This will be a treat.
This isn't in the bulletin either. My Aunt Tina Jansen, the funeral service was held a couple of days ago. She was born January 12, 1925. I believe she was the last remaining original Luminar Church member to pass away. And she was also the last remaining Falk original, I guess you would call it. But I think it's a little bit significant that's the end of our direct Russian connection.
My all in.
Well done. Thank you so much, guys. I'm going to switch up the order a little bit. I'm going to invite Delana and Raven for a skit first, and then Luke will do the scripture reading after that.
The best plate of righteousness. See? The best plate of righteousness.
Hey, clown, what you got there?
I was reading the Bible, and in Ephesians 6:14, talks about having the best plate of righteousness.
No, silly, that's not what it says. It says breastplate, not best plate.
Oh, I see. There you have it. The best plate of righteousness.
What is that?
What's it look like?
A dead chicken on a plate.
What's below the head and above feet?
Neck and wings.
No, I mean, yes, but what is below the neck and above the knees?
Wings.
No, let me rephrase this. What is below the neck, above the knees, and between the wings?
Oh, it's the breast.
Yes, there you have it. The breastplate of righteousness.
No, that's not what it means. Read it again.
Okay. The breastplate of righteousness. I get it. There you have it. The breastplate of righteousness. Have you ever seen a righteous bird?
No, I haven't.
Well, oh, it's a beautiful bird.
Really? Tell me about it.
Well, it's, you know, righteous.
That's not what it says.
It's not?
No, let me see the Bible, please.
It says the breastplate of righteousness.
Yes, that is what I said.
Do you know what that means?
Well, no. I thought I did. Do you know? Yes, it means that when we accept Jesus into our hearts, we clothe ourselves with his righteousness. We are justifying and made righteous in God's eyes because of our faith in his son Jesus.
I see. It's getting a little clearer now.
Look, Paul bases this passage on the battle gear of his Roman soldier of this time, who would be visible daily walking about the streets and walls of the cities of the Roman Empire. Paul includes each major piece of the Roman soldier's equipment in his description of the armor of God. One of those was the breastplate like this. Wow, that is pretty impressive.
Yes, it is. Wait, I have more.
Now, let's pretend that this is a real sword.
Okay.
If you have no armor on, I could take the sword and stab you with it, right?
Yes, that would be very bad.
So let's pretend that you are clothed with the breastplate of righteousness.
Okay.
The breastplate of righteousness surrounds your heart, and this way, it safeguards the spiritual life. It helps the vibrancy of your heart's connection with God. It does this by shielding your heart from the devil's accusations.
Hey, that is really cool.
Clown, do you have your breastplate of righteousness?
I'm not sure. How do you know?
By asking God to forgive you, to forgive of your sins, and believing that Jesus died for your sins and rose again.
Wow. Could you tell me more?
Sure.
This morning's scripture starts in Ephesians 6 and moves on to Romans 3. So beginning with Ephesians 6, 10 to 14. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and the breastplate of righteousness in place. Then moving to Romans 3, 21 to 31. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where, then, is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law.
Thank you, Luke. And thank you, Delana and Raven, for that skit. I think if we would have watched that skit and gone home, the lesson would have hit home, hopefully, for some of you. But we're going to listen to me for a while now. Sorry if you fall asleep. Good morning again. How goes the battle? That's a question that I have for you this morning. And this year, at the beginning of the youth year, we did an underground church kickoff where we talked about the persecuted church. And at that kickoff, I shared a story about a church in a persecuted nation where they met underground at midnight, not necessarily actually under the ground, in an office building at midnight when they wouldn't be seen. And one of the questions they opened their meeting with when they gathered together as the church was, what are your wounds for Christ this week? Because the reality is that we are in a spiritual battle, and we all carry wounds for Christ if we are representing him in the world. And so I ask the question to you this morning, what are your wounds for Christ? Maybe think about that this morning. What are the things that the wounds that you've taken for knowing Jesus, for representing him in the world? And if you can't think of anything, we'll talk about that a little bit later too. But the truth is that we have persecuted brothers and sisters across the world who face persecution daily for believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. And that's the reality of the spiritual battle for them. And we need to uphold them in prayer. This battle may look different in Canada, but I assure you that the battle is just as real in Canada as it is in other countries where persecution is open. We still have an enemy, and he still wants us to doubt God's goodness and to give up on our mission. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us to be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. A quick funny story at home. Judah often, he's got a very active imagination. And we read about Daniel and the lions sometimes. And the other day we're sitting at the kitchen table and Judah told me, he said, "Dad, like, there's a lion coming." And I'm like, "Well, what do you mean? There's no lion here." He's like, "Yeah, there's a lion. It's coming. We gotta run," or whatever. And I think that's really funny because he's pretending. But the truth is that we do have an enemy who's prowling around like a lion, trying to get us off our game, trying to devour us, trying to make us lose hope and lose sight of Jesus. But the truth is that we serve a God who is far greater, because those lions that Judah would tell me about, the story that we read to him was David and Goliath. And David, when he was a shepherd boy, God gave him the strength to fight off lions and bears, and gave him the courage to fight against the giant Goliath when all of the Israelite army was afraid as well. So we have a God who is our encourager. So quickly a recap. I'll get into this yet. But a recap. 2 weeks ago, Walter told us, talked to us about standing firm. He mentioned that people are not our enemy. Our battle is not against them, but rather the spiritual powers and authorities. So the battle is not against our neighbors or our friends, our bosses, our teachers, our coworkers, our coaches, or even our pastors. The enemy is not the president or the prime minister or any other political party members or people who hold to different political views than us. The people that we interact with on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis are not the enemy. People who don't believe in Jesus are not our enemy. But the enemy that we face is a liar, he's a trickster, a manipulator, and an accuser. Pastor Rudy then reminded us last week that, as he spoke about the belt of truth, that we're not fighting for victory, but rather we are fighting from victory. We're not fighting for victory, but from victory. And that's encouraging. He also talked about the benefits of living a truth-filled life. The truth is that the God we serve has won the victory over sin and death, and we must constantly remind ourselves of the truth of his good news. Church, we need to remember that this is also not a battle that we fight on our own. You are not the only one in the fight. We fight together. I had a conversation actually recently with somebody who told me that they had heard that the Blumenort Mennonite Church does a good job of making people feel welcome on Sunday mornings. They mentioned the word warm as a description for our congregation, and I want to commend you on being a welcoming congregation, that people feel at home here and feel, even when they're not members, that they can, that they feel welcome to be here. So good job on that. We're fighting together in this. I've also experienced personally and seen in the last few months the reality of a praying church. We love each other and we pray for each other. When there are hard times and when there are things going on in our lives, if we ask for prayer, our church prays. And so we need to be willing to humble ourselves when we need prayer, when we need help, to let people know that that's our reality, because we are fighting together and not alone. I want to acknowledge that though we fight together, not all of us are at the same place in life, in our journey with Jesus. And the fight may look different for some than others, which is why we need, when we're struggling, we need people to uphold us. We need people to help us, because they might not be struggling in that same way. But maybe they've gone before us, they've had that struggle, and they've experienced the Lord's victory in it, and they can help us through those things. So today we're continuing on our series on the armor of God. This morning we'll specifically be talking about the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6:14 exhorts believers to stand with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Is your breastplate in place? Are you protected? So to start off, we need to maybe define a few things. What is the breastplate of righteousness? In Bible times, the breastplate was a piece of armor that extended from the chest to the hips. It was put on after the belt, and with the belt, it formed a protective barrier against arrows and things like that, and enemy attacks. It protected against those things. It protected the heart and the internal organs from all of that. Specifically, the heart and lungs, which are crucial to our survival. I'd like to share a bit of a personal story that relates a little bit to this. The need for us to protect our hearts. Too often I think that I put my own hope in my righteousness, in my self-righteousness maybe, or the way that I can look good to others or be good on my own. And I try to do right and do good on my own. It's not bad to do right or do good. But when our trust is in our own righteousness, to protect our hearts, to protect our inner life, that we struggle. Because it's not the right armor. It's not made of the right stuff. When I was a teenager, that was a struggle for me. I wanted to do what God wanted because I wanted Him to approve of me. I wanted to know that God loved me and was proud of me. I worked really hard at looking good to Him and to other people on the outside by the things that I was doing. I did a lot of Christian-y things. I was a camp counselor. I was a DVBS teacher. I attended youth every week. And before that, I actually was baptized when I was 12. Because I had understood that baptism was the next step in following Jesus, and I wanted to do that. It was actually really funny, because after I was baptized, my brothers held me accountable, which is really annoying sometimes when you have brothers and you're 12 and they want to hold you accountable. I would do or say things, and my brother would say, "But aren't you baptized? You probably shouldn't be doing that." And I was like, "You're right, but I'm so mad at you right now." But it was really helpful, I think, in recognizing that they knew the standard that, you know, you're baptized, you're not supposed to be doing those things, you're a Christian, that's not how you're supposed to act. And if I were truly honest, I'd say one of the reasons that I got baptized was because I had heard people in the church that I was attending at the time who had spoken about hearing from God, that they could talk to God and hear His voice, and I wanted that. As a 12-year-old, I wanted to hear God's voice, I wanted to hear from Him, but nobody really told me what that meant. And I think if I would have done some digging and asked some people and spent some time talking to those who had walked with God for a while, I would have learned that for a large majority, the way that God speaks to people is through His Word. When they spend time opening the Word and the Holy Spirit reveals it to them, not just the words on the page, but God's Spirit revealing truth to us as we spend time with Him, as we take time to journey with Him through His Word. And specifically through the way that He's revealed the truth of Jesus to us through the Word. So if you don't hear from God, read your Bible, spend time in prayer. Those are helpful things. It may not be an audible voice, but God will reveal stuff to you, things that are true. Throughout my journey, I've taken steps that I thought to be the next steps God wanted me to take. And even in this process, my motivation wasn't always ideal. I wasn't always motivated to do those things because of the love I felt from God. Though sometimes I was. Even on this journey, there are snapshots where I would say that I traded my beat-up breastplate of self-righteousness for the breastplate of righteousness that God provides, and I trusted in His righteousness to protect me. But it can be easy to let that slip, because we have an enemy who's constantly firing arrows at us. I remember coming back from college, where I was in a degree learning about youth ministry and how to do that. And I came back from college and I realized that I had spent a lot of time trying to grow in knowledge and trying to shine up the outside of my life, my self-righteous armor. I was doing more things for God. But I hadn't worked on the inner part of my life. My heart needed help. I hadn't wanted to look at the parts of my heart that no one sees except me and God. I thought that the struggles and issues that I faced were the things that I needed to work on. But really, it was my heart that was wounded, and it was causing me to do things that I didn't even actually want to do. I'd been stuck full of arrows because my belt of truth and my breastplate of righteousness weren't fixed in place, and I wasn't ready. I'd like to stand up here and say that that doesn't happen anymore, but there are moments where that slips, which is why I think Paul encouraged people, you've got to stand firm, you've got to have that belt of truth on and the breastplate of righteousness, you've got to have these things, this armor of God, you need to put it on because the fight is real and the fight is happening all the time. Not just when you're serving God, but when you're sitting at home. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. In Hebrew thought, the heart included the mind, the will, and the emotions. In other words, what you believe affects how you live. Your actions are not separate from your beliefs. They flow from your beliefs. So what does the word righteousness in the breastplate of righteousness actually mean? The righteousness referred to here by Paul is a Greek word that's really hard to pronounce. So I'm not going to. Well, yeah, okay, well. Dikaiosune or something like that. Dikaiosune. Which means God's judicial approval or right standing before God. It's basically in law terminology. If you were standing before the judge and the judge says you're guilty, this verdict would be not guilty. You are right in God's sight. You have the right to stand before him because of Jesus' blood. So we are to stand with the breastplate of righteousness in place. But who needs a breastplate of righteousness? Why do we need it? These are questions that we need to look into. Turn to Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, and I think we'll get a clue a bit to who needs this. It's after Proverbs. I think. I'm so sorry. I don't know where it is. That's why I wrote it on my paper. It's hard to find. Somewhere in there. It says, there is no one righteous. There is no one on earth who is righteous. No one who does what is right and never sins. We all make mistakes. We all miss God's mark. So why do we need a breastplate of righteousness? Because our efforts on our own are not enough. We cannot declare ourselves right in God's sight. It doesn't work that way. Matthew 5, verse 20 tells us, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. And Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have no hope of bridging the relational gap created between us and God by our sin on our own. We cannot declare ourselves right with God, no matter how good we are. Righteousness comes from God, not from us. Righteousness comes from God, not from us. And those verses also tell us that we're all in the same boat. It's not just that guy over there isn't righteous enough. We all aren't righteous enough. Since the definition of righteousness is God's judicial approval, it makes sense that only he can grant us that approval. It does not come from our own effort, but from our faith in Jesus. It comes from God, not from us. Romans 3:21-22 say, but now apart from the law, God's righteousness has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets, that is, God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction. And the two things that we learn from those verses are firstly this. The Bible is clear that we cannot gain it through following the law or doing the right thing. We do not get this right standing with God by obeying the law, because that is not enough. We cannot follow it perfectly enough. It's not by how well we follow the rules that we are judged right in his sight. And it is also clear that this righteousness is available to all. Just like we all need it, it's available to all of us. There's no distinction. God didn't say righteousness is only for the youth or the older people. He didn't say that righteousness is just for men, not for women. And however other distinctions or classifications we like to make. It is possible for anyone to be declared righteous by God through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his subsequent resurrection. Romans 4 verse 5 says, "But to the one who does not work, but believes on him who declares the ungodly to be righteous, his faith is credited for righteousness." Even when we were enemies of God, God decided to send Jesus because we needed a Savior to declare us right in his sight. And the only way we can be judged right in his sight is by believing that Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross is enough to take away our sin and satisfy the justice and wrath of God toward sin. He is the one who declares the ungodly to be righteous. Paul goes on in Romans 4, verses 7 to 8, to quote David in the Psalms when he says, "How joyful are those whose lawless acts are forgiven and whose sins are covered. How joyful is the man the Lord will never charge with sin." Did you hear that? How joyful is the man the Lord will never charge with sin. Not because he didn't sin, but because Jesus came. Because of Jesus, and because we can have faith in him, when we have faith in him, God will not charge us with our sin. It doesn't mean he won't convict us and want us to do what's right, but he will not charge us with sin that will inflict his wrath upon us. We're not held to that. Jesus has taken that for us. And that's the good news. It's not based on how good we are when we come to Jesus. It's based on him. The truth is that if we believe in Jesus Christ, we've been given the gift of righteousness. If we've put on that truth, that belt of truth, that Jesus has given us his righteousness, God has judged us right with him, and our debt for the sins we've committed is paid and we are free. God will never charge us with sin. When he looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. When he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus, if you believe in him. This freely given right standing with God is to protect our heart from the enemy's attacks. We keep it on by choosing to live by that truth. God has shown himself victorious over sin and death and given us the privilege of being adopted into his family. So, if we've been declared righteous, how, as Christians, is it possible that we still act unrighteously? I think that has to do with our enemy. We have an accuser who likes to try and poke holes in our armor. He'll come to us and say, "You're not really righteous. No. What Jesus said about you, that's not true. He hasn't declared you right. He actually still is mad at you. So you should just, you know, be sad and unhappy. And probably if you do this sin, it'll make you feel better." Oh. And we sometimes get tripped up in that way. But the truth is that we're already right in God's sight. We don't need to earn it. We don't need to feel bad if we can't attain that standard, because he has already attained it for us. Righteousness is from God, not from us. And we need to remind each other of this truth and to hold each other up in prayer, to remember that we stand together. Because the enemy is going to come to us with questions like, "Are you really declared right? Did Jesus' sacrifice really cover that sin? But don't you see, like, even though Jesus declared you right, like, you still sinned, you know, and that's your past, so you'll never change." You might say things like that, but I don't think that's true. We need to believe the truth that Jesus says about us. Having the breastplate of righteousness in place means that we understand that truth and we stick with it. But the truth is, too, that we're in a process where God is continually working on us, on our hearts. He protects our hearts with his righteousness, and he changes our hearts to become righteous. He is the one who's working in us to desire and to do what pleases him. And if you even have the desire to do what's right, that's God at work in you. That's God working on your heart. So have faith and take courage, because his righteousness will guard your heart as he's transforming it. And have grace for yourself when you mess up, because it's going to happen, most likely. If not, awesome. Keep doing what's right. Keep doing what's good. But stick with Jesus. So whatever your context this morning, I hope that you will leave here convinced that God is for you, not against you. He has made a way for you to be right with him through Jesus, whether you've been a Christian for all your life, and whether you're not even sure if you are a Christian. He has made a way for you to be right with God through Jesus Christ. It's not about how good you are or how cleaned up you can make yourself or trying to be acceptable to him. It's about what he has done. So my challenge for you this week is to believe that and to live that way. Since Jesus has made you right, try to do good. Try to be right, but not so that you can get right standing with God, because that's already been done. It's taken care of. Do what's right because it's right to do what's right. And when the accuser comes at you with those thoughts, tell him to shut up. You're wrong. Jesus is right. This is what he's told me. It's true. We can stand up to those things with our breastplate in place. God says that you have been declared right in his sight if you believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and you turn from your sin. And he is the one who helps us to overcome. He has won the victory. We are not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. And so I pray that our focus would be on him every day, and that people in our lives would come to see the truth of what Jesus has done lived out in our lives, whether we have the right answers or not. Amen.
Closing song. We're going to sing "Great is Thy Faithfulness." I believe it's 534 in your hymnal, but I think we're singing it in a different key.
Thank you.
Please bow with me for the benediction. God of grace and forgiveness, thank you for sending your Son to take away our sin and declare us right in your sight. We ask that you remind us of this truth daily and enable us, by your Spirit, to desire and to do the things that please you. Help us to love you with all of our hearts, souls, minds, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Go in peace.